Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
Hello, everybody.
And welcome
to Off Script.
I'm Bree.
I'm Allie.
And this is a podcast
where we compare a book to its movie.
Mm-hmm.
And today we are comparing
The Portable Door.
Yes.
Picked by none other than John, my boyfriend. Not to confuse you with all the other Johns that you know.
The John down the street.
And so John, here, this will be our picture. It's not even my own story. So John just went to Iceland, and when he came back, he got stopped through customs. Apparently, they were looking for a John Brown, and like they kept making jokes. They were like, John Brown's such a common name. Like, there's so many of you. And then, like, when they let him leave, they were like, yeah, you're not the John Brown we're looking for.
Anyway, so this is season 6, episode 12.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and that was a good picture.
Yes, it was.
Poor John.
He doesn't listen anyway.
Got no trigger warnings for you in this one.
Nope.
All right. So our synopsis is, a man lands an internship at a mysterious London firm with unconventional employees, including the charismatic CEO, who is incorporating modern corporate strategy into ancient magical practices.
What? This book and movie are so fucking different from each other.
I'm so glad you said that, because throughout the whole watch, I'm like, because I watched it. So I was listening to it while I was like painting walls in my house.
Oh, yeah.
So I was doing a mundane task. So I was paying attention. But at the same time, you know, your mind wanders
your brain,
a little bit.
Especially when it's boring. Yeah.
Yes. So or, I was.
Okay. Not. Sorry. I
no. Enjoyed. It was boring.
Yeah.
It was boring.
It was.
Oh, you talk about the book.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant painting walls.
Yeah. I was. But then it, like how it came out, it sounded like I was talking about the book, and I was like, wait, hold on, let me backtrack.
Oh, okay.
So yes, painting walls is boring.
Yes.
So like when the task is boring, it's easier for your mind to wander. Yes. Is what I was trying to say.
Yes. And so then watching it, because of my fundraiser crap, which you'll find out in the mini-show coming up, I wasn't going to bed till like 11 o'clock. So this mm-hmm. took me 4 nights to watch this movie. And so I really was like, holy crud. My notes are so wrong.
No.
Okay.
No.
It's just that different.
The movie is the complete fucking opposite of the book.
All right. Okay. Because I was like, wait, that's not. Wait, what?
I really wish that you had watched this first.
I wish I had too.
Because I would be interested. I would be interested to see which one you're picking.
Okay. All right. Well, we have our author, Tom Holt, mm-hmm. our director, Jeffrey Walker,
mm-hmm.
screenplay writer, Leanne Ford.
Mm-hmm.
I had audiobook reader, YouTube gal from Ink Reads.
Yeah.
You had a different guy.
Yeah. I had a dude. Sure. I don't know his name.
Did you like him?
Yeah. He was kind of fun.
Oh, man. I wish I had.
He was a British dude who had fun with it, I think.
My girl sounded Irish or Scottish.
Oh.
Which was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I just could not stand how she read Paul.
Because
she made him, like, chuckle every sentence.
Oh, no.
I was like, I don't think he would be laughing right now.
No.
Why is he laughing?
No.
She got better as I went on. My makeup's going to be awful now, but my eyes are dying. She got better as she went on, but I don't know. I'd be interested to listen because she does a bunch of audiobooks on YouTube.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to listen to a different one. See if it was just these characters.
Just that book that she did that for.
Yeah. Hmm. Anyways, so the book came out in 2003. The movie came out March 23rd, 2003, which is 20 years.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize this movie was so recent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I had not even heard of it.
This. Okay, here is the whole reason why I picked this, or why John picked it for us. When we first started dating, John would always send me, like, before he realized that I don't watch previews, he would send me previews for movies, like, because he knew I was big into movies. And so he would send me the movies that he would be like, oh, I think we should watch this together. And this was one of them.
Oh.
And but he also at that point had known about Off Script. And he was like, oh, this one's a book, too.
Oh.
So you could add it to Off Script. I was like, oh, that's a good idea. And so when we needed a listener pick, I told him, I was like, John, there's like five book movie things that I haven't watched with him yet because I'm waiting to figure out what we're doing with this. So pick an off script one that you want to watch soon. And so he went through and he was like, oh, Portable Door was one that I wanted to watch. And I was like, oh, yeah, let's do that.
Yep.
What did we do first?
I read it.
I also read it first.
Mm-hmm.
Whoopsie. As we didn't plan that very good.
Nope.
We're good. What are your thoughts on the story?
On the plot?
Because generally ish, they have sort of somewhat ish.
Sort of the same plot.
I wouldn't say at all.
I wouldn't say they have the same plot. Are you kidding me?
I went into the book expecting the movie plot. Got a completely different story.
I guess so. Yeah.
I think it doesn't help that I had watched the preview for the movie and I knew the movie's like synopsis and like everything like that. Whereas I knew nothing of the book. So I was just like, all right, not even thinking how horribly different they could be.
I knew nothing about either of them. So yeah. I went in blind.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts?
I don't know. It was not what I expected.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think I hated it as much as you did.
It's funny. Wait, you didn't hate like the differences?
Just either of them.
Okay. Okay.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, we will.
And why did we pick it? Thanks, John.
Yeah. Because John wanted to watch it finally.
Yep.
After 2 years of dating.
Yep. So there were only like 12 fun facts. So sorry. Oh. Allie's super fun facts. So The Portable Door is the first book in Tom Holt's J.W. Wells and Company series. How many are there? 8 books total.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh. I wonder if the other ones are like different aspects of the company.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Ooh, I kind of want to continue.
Portable Door, In Your Dreams, Earth, Air, Fire, and Custard. You don't have to be evil to work here, but it helps. The Better Mousetrap may contain traces of magic, life, liberty, and the pursuit of sausages. The 8 Reindeer and the Apocalypse. They actually sound really good.
Yeah, they do.
They sound better than just the Portable Door.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Huh.
All right. That's cool.
Yep. Guy Pearce was originally set to play Dennis Tanner, but was forced to pull out of the project because of scheduling conflicts with memory. Sam Neill replaced him.
Damn. Guy Pearce would have been a good actor for that.
I know, but I really like Sam Neill. Isn't that what's his name?
That's true. Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was shocked because I had never heard of this movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
At how many names, big names, were in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole reason I wanted to see this was because of Christoph Waltz.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a post-credit scene. Did you watch it?
No.
I couldn't tell if Amazon just played it before the post-credits because then Amazon, you know, kicked me out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't know. Movie ended and I turned it off. I was like, oh, my God.
I forget what it was. It was something about, like,
But there was just this random scene that didn't seem to match the end of the movie. And I was like, was that supposed to be the post-credit scene?
Well,
I don't know. So I don't know. Tell us what it is. In 2013, Jim Henson Company and Storybridge Films began developing the project. So 10 years before it was created.
Uh-huh. Dang, they had 10 years to make it good.
What happened?
Yeah.
In the room the maid goes to at the end. Oh, this one.
Oh.
And the end of the film is the same room number as The Shining. Wait, oh man, the same room number. Who gives a crap? I thought it was the same room. I read that wrong. Good job. You picked a number and it was The Shining. I wonder if that was on purpose, but I don't know. That's hilarious.
Aw, crap.
Whatever. That was the scene that I saw at the... I wonder if that was the post-credit scene. Oh, let's go to at the end of the film. Oh, I don't know. Did you see that scene with the maid?
I don't remember seeing it.
Okay, I think that was the post-credit scene.
Okay.
Did you watch it on Amazon too?
I watched it on my fancy TV. So I just said the portable door into the remote and pulled it up on the first thing that it had it on.
Oh, okay.
So I would assume wherever it was free.
It was free on Amazon.
Huh. That's weird.
No, well.
No, like I said, I like, well, there's also, whatever. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
Oh, I'm going to warn everyone. I forgot my freaking notebook at my apartment. So I'm doing this off the cuff. Wish me luck.
You got this.
Yeah.
Prepared. We're professionals. We haven't said that all season.
Whoa.
My gosh.
Whoa, we used to say that all the time.
I know. We've been off this season. I think letting our listeners choose really threw us
for a fucking loop. We're like, they know we're not professionals. Now they did this to us. No.
Oh my gosh. All right. So Paul was talking. We're going to kick it off. Paul's talking to this girl in this waiting room because they're doing a job interview. He finally gets called back and they ask him these weird questions. And he's chatting with this girl after. And it turns out her questions were weird, too. And neither thought they did a good job. And they're like, whatever, we didn't get the job. But later, a day later, Paul got a letter saying he was offered the job.
Dude, the fact that the whole start is Paul on his way to a different job interview, but then like everything is making him go to this job interview.
It was so cute.
Love that you thought it was cute.
So I
was,
magical.
I was sitting here like, the fuck? He's supposed to know where he's going and be like, yeah, I want to get this job. But instead he's like, oh, how did I end up here?
Like, a dog stole my whatever.
Yeah. Oh. And then the rest of that happens, except for he doesn't chat with the girl after the interview. He only chats with her at the start.
Yep. Paul started this job with the girl he interviewed, like the other interviewee. So they both got the job. He was told a very confusing way to get down to this location he's supposed to, because this building is just bananas. And once there, he was given these papers that made really no sense at all. But all he was told, but he was doing very well at them. Like, he had to like switch numbers or do something with numbers.
To me, it sounded like fucking Minecraft.
Oh, really?
Nope, not Minecraft. Minesweeper.
Oh, yeah. I could see that.
Mm-hmm. How he was describing it, I was like, oh, he's essentially playing Minesweeper on an Excel sheet.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I can see that. And so the other girl was not doing well. So he went out to eat and he was invited by one of the owners of the company. I don't remember which one. Wells.
The one who he kept referring to as the tennis player. That's all I remember.
Okay.
I don't remember their names because I just remembered them by, oh, that's the tennis player. But then they never made that reference again. So I'd always be like, is that the tennis?
So this boss talked about himself the whole time. And the skinny girl, because he still doesn't know this girl's name that he works with, was really angry and annoyed that she didn't get to go to lunch with them either. And the boss came in and said that these are like, not the boss, but like the person telling them what to do. So I guess it's their boss, but he went to lunch with the boss. And said, now these papers need to be done. And Paul helped the girl because she's super slow. And Paul has this crush on this skinny girl, he says.
Well, I think here's where it's confusing. I don't think in the book it's Wells. I think in the book it's someone else, but in the fucking movie, Wells is like there in their business the whole entire time.
Right.
Whereas in the book, Wells doesn't show up until later.
That's what I think too.
I was like,
or he showed up right here and this was it. Because I think we were introduced to him.
Well, no, there's that time where he takes them out. In my head, they're in a carriage for some reason. And he's like telling them like, okay, we're going to go talk to our clients. And they're like, whoa, oh, that's we're right. talking to clients. That's the only scene I thought he was in the book.
Whereas, he's not the one that does the magic too?
Yes, yes. But that's the same scene.
Okay. So this is someone else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This isn't Tanner though.
No, it's the tennis player.
Okay. That magical tennis player.
Yeah. So in the movie, Christoph Waltz is Wells. And Wells is there. He's basically using them because he's missing this portable door and he wants Paul to find it. And then essentially freaking Sophie, which is the skinny girl, she gets fucking... God, this book and movie are so fucking different. She essentially, they start together. He is way better at her than at what they do because she's meant to be. I can't even remember what she's meant to be in the movie. What does she do? Is she reads seer. Minds? Thank you. She's yeah. a seer. And so like she knows how people are supposed to like go about. I don't.
She's like a.
She's seer. She's Cupid for people.
She can see what's about to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then instead of an Excel sheet that he's working on a bunch of fucking maps.
Which he does later. He just skipped the Excel sheet part.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they just threw him straight to the maps.
Glad I was like, wait, mm-hmm. that seems wrong to me.
Oh, I was so mad. I wish I had my notes. I had so many notes. And John the whole time, because every time I would like write furiously and set it down, something happened and I'd be like, oh, and I'd grab the notebook and write and be like, is it really that bad? I was like, none of this happens. And then like, because in the movie, the offices are these like very elaborate like offices. In my fucking head, it looked like a law office. Which made it even more confusing to them. Like, where the fuck are we? What are we doing? Whereas you walk into the fucking offices in the movie, you know you're working for a magical company.
Well, they weren't very, they weren't very surprised when they told them in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas in the book, they're like, they were the pissed. Fuck
they were like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, Paul's friend told him to tell this skinny girl that he still doesn't know her name for, that he has the crush on her. He has a crush on a girl he doesn't know the name for. Okay, good. That's great.
Well, that's the whole thing about the book. He talks about how he's always crushing on girls, and he basically moves on from one girl to the next super quickly.
Yes. He was kind of moping around, and he ran into his boss and awkwardly left at the store, and he got on the train, and the next stop was like an hour away, but he took it, and there he ran into the skinny girl, and it turns out she just broke up with her boyfriend, and they had a good chat and hung out, and then he went home, and someone must have been in his apartment because there was a sword in a stone in his apartment.
I was so mad that there was no sword in the stone in the movie. I kept like, what sucks is because Paul and Sophie do go out to lunch in the movie, but it's not this elaborate story. It's just they're on lunch and she's like, come on, we got to get out of the office. Let's go. And so then they go. So then they go out and then he goes back and he literally like after that scene, it was to his apartment. And I literally like, I was like, oh, I can't wait for this part.
Yes, I said the same thing.
And then there was no sword in the stone.
I'm like, yeah,
I was like, that's what I was like. Nothing's going to be the same. Because it's such a random ass part, but it actually ties in at the very end.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, nothing's going to be how it's supposed to be.
Nope. So he went to work early because he's kind of weirded out by this sword in the stone thing. when he got there, the people working there were surprised to see him there early. And they were kind of like, what are you doing here? He saw these like claw marks and the scuffling and all this sort of stuff. And then he eventually ran into the skinny girl and they got talking and it came out that he had a sword and a stone. And she's like, oh, my gosh, I also got a sword and a stone. And then they received a new task and they had to find these buck sites in these pictures, which is like the map thing that we were talking about. And whenever Paul found one, his finger got super tingly. The skinny girl went and found some information on the computer companies.
Or on the computer companies.
On the company's computers. And she came back and she's like, I have no idea. I don't know what this company does. Because they're trying to figure out what the heck they're doing. Mm-hmm. And they decided to make this game like Battleship. So Paul would say where one is on Skinny Girl's map, and she'd say, yes, you got it, or vice versa. And every time the Skinny Girl got it right, but Paul never got it right, but he would be able to tingle and feel on his finger when he, wherever they were. And they went to have lunch, and they got to know each other a little bit more. And the Skinny Girl's name is Sophie.
Yeah, essentially, after that first scene where they're working together, they don't work together anymore. She's taken away to go be a seer with a woman who's a seer.
Yep. Like, and she's just like, okay, that's my job.
Uh-huh. Bye. I know already. See you. Oh, yeah. And everyone's like, we are a magical company. Like, the second they get hired.
Yeah.
So they know already. They know about the goblins and the underground and everything. And then Paul gets recruited to find the portable door by Wells. And so Paul goes around and is looking all throughout the building for the portable door.
Yep. There's also the stapler that keeps going missing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't think I mentioned it in here, so I needed to mention it.
Yeah, you should. Especially the movie at least had that.
Yeah.
That was like the one thing that I was like, all right, thank you for at least doing that. Because it was the funniest when it first showed up and it was just like in the middle of the floor. John was like, what the fuck?
And then didn't one of them, like Wells or someone scream or Tanner scream?
Yes. And like get out of the way. And then the next scene, like the receptionist is like kissing it. And John's like, what the fuck is up with this? And I was like, oh, I know.
You'll find out. At least I kept that.
Yep.
So Paul had a dream. It was very bizarre. And there's like this gopher goblin thing talking to him. And he's giving him instructions and warnings. And a door kept materializing and different things would come out. And the next day, him and Sophie.
There's another Sophie.
Oh, my gosh. So the next day, him and Sophie went out for lunch again. And she paid again. And because she paid before because he's broke. And they talked about a lot of things, including how weird this job is and all the mundane tasks. And it's like, maybe it's so that they quit so they don't have to fire them and pay them and all this sort of stuff. Then they went back to work. Oh, here we go. And Sophie had to leave to find a stapler because it went missing. And while she was gone, one of the owners of the company, which it isn't Wells, it's the tennis guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
Came in and told Paul everything about her. Like,
oh, yeah, that is
all these details that would make sure they have a good time on a date. And he ended up leaving. And Sophie came back and Paul asked if she knew this guy. And she's like, no. And he's so confused. Like, how does he know all this stuff about her? And then they were instructed for their next task. And they went to like this library museum basement thing with a bunch of random artifacts. And their job was to inventory everything. And there were some really weird, gross things down there. But some normal stuff, too.
Oh, this just sucks because it just reminds me how different everything is.
I was really excited for this part.
I know.
I didn't do this part.
No, this part did not happen. And essentially now at this point in the movie, Paul has found the portable door, and which is a fucking towel. And he's like, Sophie came to talk to him about something, or I can't remember why she came up to his office, but he was like, Sophie, look. And then they essentially just are going on dates left and right through the portable door. Also, there's no fucking rules with the portable door, so they just go in and spend hours on end wherever they want.
Yep.
I kept telling John, I was like, They're only supposed to be in there for like an hour. They're supposed to keep the door wedged open. Like, there's so much that's not happening right now.
But now they just have to say knock, knock.
Yeah.
God, to a towel.
Mm-hmm. Knock, knock.
So the last box they opened in this place was this really old photograph. But it was the professor, the tennis player guy, who told them everything about Sophie.
Oh, but they do have someone tell Paul everything about Sophie. But it's because, can you remember, is people are like somehow mind controlling or changing, like,
yeah, they're like,
I can't remember what it was.
They like collect their souls or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what Wells is doing. That's what evil Wells is doing or whatever. Yeah. Essentially, it's like once they have your soul collected, they can do whatever you want. So like the person tells Paul, like, she doesn't like licorice. And then literally the next scene, Sophie's walking by a bowl of licorice and she's like, ooh, yum. And she grabs it. And Paul's like, I thought you didn't like that. And she goes, normally I don't, but it sounded really good right now.
Yeah. Okay. So Paul went to the city. No, Paul went to visit Sophie and they hung out for a little bit. And then he went home. And then he's like, fudge, I'm supposed to hang out with friends in the city. So he had to go all the way back. And he doesn't like these friends, but he made this plan with them long ago because they're celebrating his first paycheck. And the girl talked to him, the friend girl, about Sophie. And Paul went back to work and he's in the room sorting all these objects. And Sophie had lunch with her mom. So he's looking at some of the objects and he found love letters from Sophie to him. But they were like dated from in the future, I think. Right.
I think it was in the past because it was really confusing to him.
Okay. Then Sophie came back and he hid the letters. But then they found a bunch of money and it was his and his death certificate saying he's going to die in 4 months, basically. But he was reading it. So he gave Sophie like a different name that wasn't his name to put on all this money and stuff. And he takes the letters and he reads them at a pub after work. Or at lunch or something. But he's the names have changed now. And it's like this historical military guy. And he's like, oh, that makes sense. I mean, and then he goes back. He's trying to convince himself that it's been that name all along. He goes back home into his apartment. And it's like his apartment is just different. And he tries to leave, but the door is gone. So he's like stuck somewhere.
Yeah, none of that happens.
No.
It made me so sad.
I know. I really was excited about that part.
I know. Instead, it's like become this like action adventure movie with the portable door.
Mm-hmm.
Because Wells is still thinking that Paul's finding it for him, but Paul's keeping it to himself. So then Wells is getting upset at Paul.
Right. So Paul is super confused. But there, because he's in this room, he went to his apartment, but now he's in this weird room. And there's no doors or anything, but there's this bread. And he's like, okay, fine. So he's hungry. He cut bread and then he buttered it. And then it magically went back to normal. Like it went back full. He's like, I could live here forever just off bread and butter. Eventually he's feeling sleepy. He fell asleep and then he woke up and things are normal again. The letters were addressed to him again, though, but they started off differently. So now the wording of the letters has changed. He went to work and Sophie told him about this guy that she's super crushing on. And he's like super jealous now because they had this cute date slash not date, but he never followed up after that. So she's like, fine, I'm gonna go date someone else.
I was so mad at Paul. I was like, Paul.
And so he's not too thrilled. He wanted to leave. And but they realized it was past closing, and that means they're locked in, and it's Friday. They went to go find Mr. Tanner, who was there earlier when Paul showed up early the other day. So he's like, maybe Mr. Tanner comes early and stays late. They couldn't find him. His office is a mess. And then all of a sudden, they found a goblin. They were frozen, like literally, like they could not move. And the problems went...
The goblins?
Yep, thank you. So the goblins went running and Sophie and Paul went running in opposite directions. And then the goblin, there was a huge chase. And he needed to go find Sophie. He found Mr. Tanner. And he's like, the goblins have Sophie and they have a knife to her, blah, 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 blah. This whole kerfuffle happened. And he grabbed a goblin by the ear. Mr. Tanner is like, hey, let go. That's my cousin. Mother. That's my mother. And yeah. So we find out Mr. Tanner's goblin.
Yeah. Nope. The goblins
are legit spooky.
Yeah. Are very spooky.
I was kind of expecting, you know, the movie, We're Back, the dinosaur tale.
Yes.
Like, you know, when they had to dress up and like be the scary things that
yes.
And then she's like, rawr! And he's like, no, you got to be more scary. She's like, well, I don't like being scary. I was kind of expecting the goblins to look like that. These things were scary looking.
They were creepy and gross looking and scary. And they also like weren't confined to just at night. Paul was able to find them in the middle of the day, just in the basement. That was the only thing. And they were like, they made it seem like they were like lording over the underworld or something.
Yeah, it was odd.
Mm-hmm. I was upset.
Oh, Paul let Mr. Tanner know that the goblin has Sophie. So he's like, oh, gosh. OK, so he went to collect her and then he tells Sophie and Paul everything that there's goblins are the landlords and everyone here is magical. And they were hired because Paul is amazing at finding things and Sophie's going to be a seer. And Sophie tried to say, no, wait, I quit. I don't want to be magical. And he's like, you can't quit. You never can quit. You sign a contract. And then she's like, well, you can't stop me. And he's like, watch, we can. And like Mr. Tanner snapped his fingers and like started almost controlling her type of thing. Mm-hmm. And they were able to leave. Paul went to a pub, got wasted. The police officer arrested him and he drunkenly said that he's a wizard and snapped his fingers, but it wasn't working. And then he remembered he has to think about what he wants to happen before snapped his fingers. So he did that. And then the police officer started eating his baton because that's what Paul thought about. Apparently.
Yeah, that did not happen.
No. Maybe
because literally they knew basically right off the bat that they were magical.
And they were just like, chill. Cool.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Sophie did try to get out of her contract, but they essentially were like, no.
Yeah.
I think, didn't they show her what she could do as a seer? And then she was like, oh, I like this or something like that.
No,
I can't remember. Yeah. Something trivial, yes. Not anything like the book.
Yeah. So Paul got to work and he found the receptionist talking to him. And he realized that's Mr. Tanner's mom in a person suit, mm-hmm. like dressed up. Mm-hmm. And she's like, my name's Rosie. And they went into the hallway of the office and they found this weird door. And it turns out this door will take him anywhere. So this is where the portable door comes in now.
Just now. Uh-huh. At like maybe halfway.
Yep. And so they were going to do all these magical things, but they had rules. Like you couldn't stay there forever. But you could also, when you go there, money was no issue because you had all the money. And food, you could eat anything you want. But anytime you came back through the door, you didn't bring anything with you and you were still like you weren't full if you ate over there type of thing. And so he's doing all this magical stuff every lunch break just to go have fun. And one day him and Sophie are working together and she's very cold with him because he's like ignoring her and she's like ignoring him. And he decided to go to Turkey and he's like, this very pretty girl sat across from him and starts chatting with him. And he realized eventually it's Rosie. And she was very offended that he did not appreciate her hitting on him because she's a goblin. And then went back through the door.
I was so mad. The only time Mr. Tanner's mom gets brought up in the movie is at the very end.
Yep.
When you realize that the receptionist, like, and also the receptionist goes from looking like a human to being a goblin. And that's when Mr. Tanner's like, mom, like he hasn't seen her. I'm like,
yeah, he's like, I forgot you live and work here. Yeah.
I walk past you every day and I forgot. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It made me so mad. I was so upset that she wasn't a big character.
Yeah, because she was huge.
Oh, massive.
So Mr. Wells was giving them instructions about how to be safe. And he had these rings they had to wear and these pins they had to wear. And Sophie was not pleased at all because she didn't want to do magic or anything. Mr. Wells spoke with other heads of the company, and they spoke about how they aren't sure if Sophie and Paul are going to be any good at this magic thing.
Yeah, that does not happen. They basically, right off the bat, are like, you guys are going to be amazing. And like, Sophie's like, I'm going to be this, what was it?
She's like, career-driven seer person. What is it? Fast track.
Oh, yeah, she's on the fast track at the freaking place. And everyone's like, yeah, she's on the fast track. Yeah, she's on the fast track.
She's that good. Yeah. And she's good. She's happy with it.
Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck?
So Paul ended up using the portable door. And this time, it took him back in time. He had the exact same conversation with Sophie, but it ended up going a little differently. He realized that Sophie does not like the pottery guy. Oh, yeah, because the guy she's crushing on is like this pottery guy. Mm-hmm. And...
crushing, that's her boyfriend at the current moment.
Oh, you're right. Now they're dating.
Mm-hmm.
So then Mr. Wells has them go to this magic show where they are doing magic. He saws this girl in half, and he was just going to leave her sawed in half. Like, she legit, like, died on the table.
Yep.
Unless this guy signed some papers. And Paul and Sophie are like, what the heck? And they end up going on a little date and chatting and, like, kind of bonding over their hatred for this job.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked her home, and she kissed him goodnight. And on the way back to the bus stop, Mrs. Tanner was not thrilled because they kissed. And she was walking with him saying, if you haven't given up on her, I'm not giving up on you.
Yeah, none of this happens.
No.
Not even in the slightest.
Nope.
Because Wells has already been working with him.
Yeah.
Or Paul, at least.
Sophie and Paul were told to do an assignment on their own, and they had to give a love potion to someone. Sophie found this horrendous, but they had to do it anyways. They went to where they're supposed to, and they did what they were supposed to do. And then all of a sudden, this little goblin is trying to make Sophie take a love potion so her and Paul could fall in love together. But one of the heads of the company, was it Tanner? No.
It was Tennis Guy.
It was Tennis Guy. Who the mm-hmm. heck is this guy?
I don't know his name.
He comes and stops them and arrested this little goblin. And on the way home, Paul was talking to Sophie and drank some tea, and it ended up being a love potion. But it wasn't Sophie he was talking to, it was Rosie. And
it was Sophie. Sophie was the one who tried to put the love potion in his tea so that he would love her. But the freaking goblin realized it and knocked her out.
Right. And right.
So then, because the whole purpose with this love potion is the first person you see and talk to is who you love.
Right. But Rosie was dressed as Sophie.
No, no, no. She was sitting on the opposite side of them, just dressed as a regular human, and kept staring at them. So then when Sophie came back with the tea, Goblin knew she put love potion in it, knocked her out, then was the one that he saw when he woke up.
Okay. And so now he's like falling in love with Rosie. But he realizes this somehow, and he uses the door to go back in time. And real Sophie came in to find him, but she shut the door, which you're not mm-hmm. allowed to do because now you're stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is a scene when Paul and Sophie are in the basement looking for something. Because I told John, I was like, there's supposed to be a fucking love potion in this movie. There was a love potion on one of the shelves. And he was like, oh, look, it's right there. But they never did anything with it.
Oh, my gosh.
And then they end up going into the portable door and before they say knock, knock, you open it. And there's this weird, like, square room with just a ton of doors. And there they find Wells's father.
Yep. Wells Senior.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some guys in the room, which Wells was one of them. Mm-hmm. Apparently, they had been there for 100+ years. They had been talking to them and realized that it's King Arthur mm-hmm. is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Rosie is in there as well. And that was her long lost love. And they figured out a way to get out. So Paul also found out that Sophie put the magic in the love potion because she loves him too.
She put the love potion in the tea.
Yep. put the magic in the love potion. Oh my gosh. So to get everyone out, and they get everyone out. They're safe and everything's good. So then They also had to deal with the Sword in the Stone because they confronted Arthur about it. He didn't realize that Mr. Wells was evil, but locked them in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, And they needed to get some of the other wizard free, because there was still another wizard in there. What? Who else was in there? Will Sr. was still in there? Did they get him out yet?
No, there was like a Charles Abbott or something like that.
Oh, okay. And when they opened the door, Wells had the sword.
Yeah, this doesn't happen. Essentially, basically how they were controlling Sophie and making her like different things. They're trying to do that with a bunch of other people. And Paul realizes that's why Wells wants the portable door. So then there's this whole fight for the portable door. And then fucking Paul realizes, I am the portable door. That part was so stupid.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
Yeah, I was like, you are not the fucking portable door.
So it turned out that Wells Sr. had been the stapler, the magical stapler the whole time.
Yeah. Fucking Wells was not supposed to be in the freaking portable door like he was in the book.
That's why I was confused. I was like, who the heck was the stapler?
The stapler was fucking Tanner's dad. But remember, because that's why the receptionist was kissing it. So when he became himself, she like ran and was like, oh, I love you. Yeah. It's my husband.
So there just was no Tanner dad in the book. Because King Arthur was who Rosie was in love with. Is King Arthur?
No, Tanner's? In the book, you're right. The stapler was Wells Sr. But in the movie, he was in the portable door. Right. He was not the goblin.
Right.
There was no Tanner's dad in the book.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So they cursed Wells Jr. into a photocopier. And they were all finding out this whole goal of everything was to get Sophie and Paul together. And they'd live happily ever after.
Yeah, they just put young Wells in the door with all the portable doors.
Yep.
A photocopier would have been better. But, I mean, Wells Sr. was not a stapler, so.
Right.
Couldn't have done that.
Yep. Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That was it. That was the book and the movie.
Yeah. There's bits that I left out because I couldn't totally remember. So I was just basically hitting the bullet points.
That's fine. That worked.
Mm-hmm.
IMDb cast 83 people. We have Christoph Waltz as Humphrey Wells and Senior Humphrey Wells.
Here's my thing. For all of these characters in the movie, they were fine for what they were. For book? I don't know.
I liked them all.
Yeah, I think they were fine, you know?
Yeah.
It's just that I don't think that the characters were really who they were supposed to be. But, you know?
Yeah. Remember when Paul met in the movie, like the crazy guy that's like, I know you, we went to school together, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Is that the tennis guy?
No. Because he ended up being a goblin in the movie later on.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, we got Patrick Gibson as Paul Carpenter.
He was sweet.
He was cute.
I liked him. Yeah.
Damian Harriman as Monty. Is that the...
Oh, that's the...
The guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was funny.
Yeah.
Sophie Wilde played Sophie.
Oh, that's funny.
I know.
It's easy. I thought she did really good.
I liked her.
Yeah.
She wasn't what I pictured in the book, but then she did really good.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Neill played Dennis Danner.
Loved him.
Yeah, I did
too. He was great.
He did really good.
I feel like that's all we need.
I think so. And then Rosie, maybe.
Yeah.
Is the theme of the book and movie the same?
No.
No.
Not at all.
Do the characters stay true?
No.
No.
Not at all.
What do you prefer?
I prefer the book.
Oh, yeah, yeah?
Yeah. So reading it, because I went into it expecting basically what the movie was, at first I was pissed.
Uh-huh.
Right? But then I watched the movie, and then I was pissed that they didn't follow the book.
That's hilarious.
We finished the movie, and I turned to John, and I just started, like, ranting and raving. I was like, and this was supposed to happen, and this was supposed to happen. And then I realized, because when I finished the book, I was like, fuck, I hated that. And then as I'm sitting there ranting to him about everything that I wanted in the movie, I was like, fuck, I loved it.
So you loved the book.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's...
Yeah, I know.
Impressive.
Quite a big difference from what I thought. Yeah, no, I really liked it.
I really did, too. I liked both of them, actually. I really liked the movie's quirkiness.
Yeah.
Like, I loved the soundtrack, and I loved just, like, the beginning scene of him, like,
Oh, the like getting pushed to the interview.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I thought all of that was really fun. And then I loved seeing the portable door. I like how the book happened where you shut the door, you're locked in. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the movie, it's whoever shuts the door keeps it type of thing.
Yeah.
And that knock knock and everything. But I like the book where they didn't like that it was magic and that they were put on these mundane tasks and the had to do inventory and all the things of the book I liked too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this was a hard one, but I think I like books better too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Probably I watched it, I probably would have chose movie.
I think so.
Because I was curious. It was already very, very close.
Yeah. I think if I had watched the movie first, I would have liked the movie more.
Yeah.
Because they are very different stories.
Yeah.
But, and like at the end of the day, the book is literally a love story.
Yeah.
Whereas the movie was definitely more action.
Yeah.
So.
That was fun. Mm-hmm. I know. I'm interested. I wonder if the other ones are going to be made or if they were.
Oh, I hope. But also they fucked this up. I was like, there's no way. Yeah. Like, I hope because then I'll have a reason to
read the books. Oh gosh. But yeah, would you recommend it to a friend?
I would. I would recommend them both.
I would too.
I would let them know if they want to do both.
Don't.
Yeah.
Pick one and just do that.
Yeah.
it was good. I liked them.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
All right, here's our sneak peeks.
Yeah.
We have a website. Did you know that?
I had no idea.
Let me tell you what it is.
Yeah,
offscript253.wixsite.com/offscript.
Check us out.
Yup.
While you're there, you can rate, subscribe, and review us.
And we're going to be at the nerd party.
Come check us out.
Yes, that's like a month away.
Isn't that insane? Mm-hmm. And we just, I'm pretty sure it's a tiny book, though. We actually have a game plan. We're going to be doing Tuck Everlasting when we're there.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And Monday, we got Lost Girls for you.
Woo, woo.
We're going very out of order now, so...
We're essentially like, whichever one we can do next, let's do it. Let's go.
So if you go to our website, it has our schedule.
Just it's all know, fucked.
The schedule is not correct, but the books are correct. Mm-hmm. We will do all of the books. It's just...
Except for one of them.
Except... For one of them. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're so far behind, I'm taking out
Allie's pick, Dear Evan Hansen.
Yeah, that was my pick. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we're so behind and everything, I'll give up my listener pick.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out. I told her, I was like, I think we're about to run into season 7's books.
Yep. Which I think, didn't we sort of maybe say we'll do?
Yeah. Yeah. Our thought is we might end up like taking our regular break, come back with my birthday month, and then go back to listener picks the next month.
Yeah.
Just depending on what we get done.
Because we'll do that for September. And then we got to do our Stephen King.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll just see.
Yeah.
Thanks for being flexible with us, you guys. Mm-hmm.
It's our podcast, guys. We do what we want.
Damn straight. Anyways, so that's it.
Yep. With that, the portable door went off script.
Bye. Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shout outs to Madame Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romantasy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.